With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen, the place where membership's a smiling face. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the man with the Panama is Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
Panama hats are actually from Ecuador.
Are they?
Mm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Why is that then?
Your own research.
I want more information. I just dangle a carrot.
They
like
were
that.
Made in Ecuador, taken up to the Panama Canal, sold there. Everyone thought they were from Panama.
There we go.
Well, they were from Panama because that's where I bought it.
So in both places, presumably they're just called hats.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe in Panama they're called Ecuador hats.
Mm. Who knows?
Mm. It's time to talk about football then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, while we're here.
I thought it was the Millen's Choice podcast.
What's your favourite hat, Peter?
I once was in a bar and a woman had... that's a good one to get wrong, isn't it?
Wow.
Wasn't
the first
bar.
Part of the information.
It was an office.
It was in a bar and a woman had a baseball cap, but the baseball cap came out to the size of a full LP record.
Okay.
Cool.
Was it actually a record?
No, it wasn't. It was just that size. And she walked around like that as if it was the most normal thing in the world.
And that's your favourite hat, is it?
that
was the question.
I've still not found a hat that suits me, so maybe I should go for that one.
I sort of meant style of hat, not like a specific...
That's a particular style of hat.
Yeah. My favourite hat is the one I saw this bloke wearing the other day.
Mm. Pete's head, the top half of his head is quite bulbous. So that's why he doesn't...
Bulbous?
I have a similar problem.
I'm not...
But you've said that to me in the past, and now I'm saying it back to you. You get upset about it.
No, my hair has a widow's peak.
Fine.
So, which accentuates the bulbous nature of my noggin.
Okay. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not bulbous,
exactly.
Though, does it?
It's swollen with facts.
Yeah. To be fair, I think if we put your head in mud for a while, it would be interesting what would grow.
Yeah.
What would sprout?
Let's do
whimsy
it anyway.
And fun, I imagine.
Let's do it anyway.
Indeed, Peter. Yeah. Yeah. We cannot deny there's a bit of whimsy and fun. In South London, isn't there, with Crystal Palace. They're looking forward to appointing a new manager. It looks like it's going to be Roy Hodgson.
It's not whimsy or fun, though,
no,
for Frank de Boer.
Do you not think?
I feel sorry for Frank de Boer, because I heard that his children were in part of a sports day this weekend, and he wasn't able to take part in the sack race for obvious Photoshop reasons, photo opportunity reasons.
That's a shame. Well, Palace are the first side in top flight to lose their first four league games of the season without scoring since 1924.
Yeah.
That's why he's been sacked, in case anyone was...
Is that Roy Hodgson's first year in charge?
Roy Hodgson was a teenager then.
Yeah. I do maintain that this is rearing its ugly head again, I suppose, but I do maintain that if your short list of managers when you were hiring someone, i.e. at Crystal Palace, mm-hmm. which didn't it take them about 3 months to find a manager?
Yeah,
it took
them a long time. They could have done it a bit quicker.
They had a short list of 37.
If they're going to get rid of someone with four games, you know, don't spend so long finding a manager.
Well, maybe 37 is meant to be over the entire season this year.
Right.
And they're just working their way through them. Hodgson's second on the list.
The best one gets another game.
Yeah. It's like the hot seat, the better the week hot seat.
I love the fact he said that there was 37 names on the list.
Yeah.
And he said, I spoke to every one of them. Did they want to be on the list? Hi, Pep. I spoke to him. I did say hi.
Not only that, Marcus. You spoke to every one of them. You chose the wrong one then, didn't you?
Yeah.
What are the chances of that?
He held his hands out, though, didn't he?
But they had him, De Boer, and Roy Hodgson on the shortlist at the end. Mm. And Roy Hodgson, it looks like he's going to be appointed now. May well be appointed sort of tomorrow or whatever. If they are the two managers you've got left... I mean, you've obviously got no strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what this smacks of, isn't it? They were completely blindsided by Allardyce retiring and just had no real plan for succession. Because, I mean, Hodgson after Allardyce makes sense. You know, there's some sort of footballing logic to that in terms of the style and what you can expect from both managers. I know Hodgson's not exactly the same as Allardyce and Pulis and the likes, but De Boer, it just feels like they wanted to get a name almost and figured, you know, actually, this we could maybe try a more sort of continental, expansive approach just because.
No, but they did say when they hired him this is an evolutionary thing and how they really wanted to move on to the next level and all the rest of it. But interestingly enough, Big Sam did say on Sky Sports on Monday night that he was approached by Steve Parrish after the De Boer sacking,
mm-hmm.
and that he wasn't ready to return to Premier League football at this point.
Oh, it's interesting that he said that, because when he did when he was retiring, wasn't he, is what he said.
So, oh, yeah, come on, you didn't believe that, did you?
I do feel sorry for De Boer, because he has been asked over the last two jobs to kind of instill a new style of football and a new culture, when he's not that great a manager, and it's really hard to do.
But Pete, what I was going to say, I do feel a bit sorry for him, and purely because... If you look, I mean, the Inter thing is a slightly different situation, and you know, De Boer has proven himself to be quite poor at choosing jobs post Ajax. He did well at Ajax, but that's the Eredivisie, so it's a bit different, perhaps. With the Crystal Palace thing, he's taken over. What was it, Marcus? 2.5 months ago, or whatever, 77 days ago.
77 days.
Yeah, he's been given Mohamed Osako, who was on loan there anyway, and Rijdewald, the young, I think he's 20, Dutch defender, and then told to get on with it. I mean,
yeah.
And I think a lot's been made of the idea of them changing their style. I don't think it's been necessarily as accentuated as people have said, because someone was pointing out on Match of the Day that they, it might have been Mark Chapman, they've played quite a lot of long balls anyway at Palace under De Boer. But I mean, first of all, to hire him, give him a pre-season, then not let him have any players that he wants, for whatever reason. I mean, the fact is the players haven't gone there. I imagine he identified more than one 20-year-old centre-back as a target.
37?
They've
at
not
least.
Got
him. Yeah, 37 at least.
And then to fire him after four games smacks of, actually, some sort of more serious stuff going on behind the scenes. It's all this stuff that's come out from Neil Ashton in the Sun about him getting some senior pros backs up and stuff. I've heard other journalists say that's only one side of the story. But it would suggest, wouldn't it, that there's more going on than just that, because it's 34 games left for the domestic league season.
Yeah, that's
so
right. I think when you talk about the long balls that they were playing, sadly, it wasn't Frank himself who was playing those long balls. What a pass he had on
him. In which case, it'll be fine, wouldn't it?
Might I suggest that if we use the English translation of his name, Frank the Farmer, he wouldn't have got the job.
No.
Who's hiring Frank the Farmer?
Well, it would make sense, because Crystal Palace have played quite agricultural football over the last few years. But speaking of going to the game itself, Marcus...
They don't play at Plough Lane, though, do they?
No, they didn't. It's worth getting in that. Hold on.
Probably buy some more players with some EU subsidies, yeah?
There we go. Please join in.
Hashtag Brexit, yeah?
And that's enough now.
And that's enough now.
It's going to the game itself. Ironically, arguably their best performance of the season.
It was. They should have won the
strange game.
Had they have got a point, or had they have won the game, which they should have at least done one of those things, would he still be in the job? I mean, Alan Pardew, he offered his back into Frank de Boer, Peter, after the game.
That was the final straw, presumably. Got to go then. I've worked with Alan before, and he's got to go.
Well, De Moore himself went, yeah, now you say that, yeah. I should be off.
I'm just saying, can Sky Sports let me know when he's going to be on so I don't watch it? I just need a calendar, that's all, with Pardew's face on the days that he's going to be working.
Yeah, well, it was interesting, Chris.
If anyone's worked for Addison Lee, just let me know. If you've got Pardew in the back, just drop us a text, you can do it anonymously.
Yeah.
Just let me know, all right? Why? If you're off to Austerlitz.
This is the Donaldson cartel talking.
I know, right?
Oh, it's sinister. Chris Sutton said a lot of things over the weekend, and we will get to some of them. Don't you worry, ladies and gentlemen.
He had a lovely weekend. A lot of Sutton.
He couldn't believe his luck, could he?
About 5 years ago, I didn't think Chris Sutton would be such a big ramble fixture, but yeah, my word, he's become it.
Just came out of nowhere.
like a miserable bullet.
On Match of the Day 2, when Mark Chapman was describing, essentially having to break it down to component parts to Chris so he could understand it, it was like Chris Sutton had been asked to pundit it in a language that wasn't his own.
Yeah. or he'd been told to take a fixed position he doesn't necessarily agree with and just argue it to the death. Yeah.
He just wouldn't roll back, would he? It was fantastic.
The thing is, though, Pete, obviously none of us in this room have showered ourselves in glory on TV in the past, so maybe
we've worked with Chris Sutton.
Yeah, but do you
on
not,
the television.
Do you not think that there was a few periods on Match of the Day 2 where the silences were a bit too long?
Oh, hugely. That was fantastic. Yeah. I love it.
Mark Chapman must have been exhausted after that. Poor chap.
But to his credit, he let him ring out.
Yeah,
Chapman,
I know.
He let him ring out. Yeah. You said it, Chris.
Exactly.
You sort yourself out,
well,
sunshine.
I would say that meeting he had with Luke for the Acast special was a good prelude to that Chris Sutton.
An education for Mark.
One of us learnt a lot that day.
Sutton said that the players played for the manager.
Do you know what? I would actually agree with that.
I would agree with that as well, which is interesting, which... some of the reports suggest that De Boer had upset some of the players and so on and so forth. Well, you would think that, I mean, the players aren't going to go out there and not try. Of course, that's not what we're saying. But it did seem, you're right, Luke, for a guy who's upset a few people or whatever, the players, were they even trying too hard? Yeah, because some of those... Scott Dann himself could have had about three.
That was weird in itself. But, I mean, the pattern of the game was very interesting in that obviously they conceded early on from a mistake, which is obviously you're going to be so frustrated by that as a team.
Chris and then Wood's going, really? He's in the championship.
Yeah, loving it. Great finish.
I genuinely think that if Frank de Boer is going to lose his job over what happened at the weekend, I think it's only right that Lee Chung-Yong goes as well.
Yeah.
I think Scott Dann for that header at the end. You can't teach Scott Dann not to do that.
He should have that sort of opportunity for Scott Dann. The quality of header of the ball he is. He should have his napkin around his neck, eating that up all day,
all day long.
When Lee Chung Yong made that almost like inexplicable back pass.
World class through ball in its own
way.
Yeah,
it was. I'm surprised to see Frank de Boer looking up to the director's box going, What would you do? I didn't sign him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What would those other 36 guys do?
Yeah. So, I mean, of all the stuff that, and it's not like a Dutch manager to put people's backs up.
No.
I don't know if that can be true.
I like the fact that some were suggesting him getting involved in training and pretty much showing up other players. Yeah, Frank de Boer was such a cultured player. He's a great player, Frank de Boer, back in the day. And he's still mid-40s, so he's still a bit of magic in his boots, but he was playing in training. But then other managers play in training as well.
I don't want to come across as sort of way too old school for no reason, but if you're a mid-20s professional athlete, professional footballer playing in the top flight in England, and a 45, I think he's 45, Frank de Boer, something like that, he's a great player, of course. If he's showing you up in training, you can take that one or two ways. I mean, you can be sort of funny about it and be a bit sort of fragile and go, oh, God, that's not fair, and start briefing journalists about it. Or you can go, well, actually, that's quite inspiring. He's 45, but he's still great. You know, I'm actually going to react to that in a positive way.
Look at Sean Dyche's, how the defenders have come on under him at his various clubs and stuff.
Didn't old Dyche turn down the Palace job, saying that he wasn't happy with some of the stuff that was on
that offer? Might be right.
Yeah. So there we go. Anyway, Frank de Boer's out of a job, and Tom Heaton's got a shoulder hanging off or something as well.
We're moving to Burnley, yeah. The club, of course. Yeah, he came up, but Nick Pope came on and secured Burnley's clean sheet on his debut, which was nice. And he looks like a delightful chap as well.
He was very happy, wasn't he, to be here? Yeah.
Him and Tom Heaton, a lovely time at the goalkeepers' union at Burnley.
Well, it's just the general feeling at Burnley, isn't it? I'm just endlessly impressed by their organisation. They all know their job so well, and they just fight so hard. They know that they're not going to, rip a team apart and beat them 5-0.
You say that, Jim, but they did ride their luck an awful lot there.
That luck is to be ridden, isn't it? You've just got to commit as much as you can.
Right down to the winning goal.
But, in a way, I think you're both right, because because the point is that Burnley went ahead after a few minutes, and there was, aside from going to the Etihad or whatever, that the sort of teams that Palace are going to be around come the end of the season, you'd expect. If there's one team you don't want to go away to and go 1-0 down after 3 minutes, it's probably going to be Burnley, because they're going to make you try for everything. Now, of course, the way this game transpired, Palace were very unlucky. I mean, Dan had one kid off the line as well. There was other opportunities.
Obviously, Dan's huge miss as well.
But Jim is right. Burnley do know how to look after a 1-0 lead by and large. So, I mean, and I think you've got to understand the profile of the teams that Palace have lost to. Liverpool, they played okay against, and that's fine. But was it Huddersfield? They got beaten by quite badly. They were beaten by Swansea at home as well, and then beaten by Burnley. They've got the games they've got coming up. I mean, what is it? United away, City away, and Chelsea at home. They could be goalless after six games.
They're home against Southampton next. That's
seven
must
games.
Win. Absolutely must win. But Southampton are struggling themselves. But it is a must win one for Palace. But talking about, 1-0 advantages, if it is Hodgson, which at the time of recording hasn't been confirmed, but it's on everybody's lips.
Marcus, I'm looking forward to Christian Benteke taking corners.
There we are, you see.
Under Hodgson.
There is a man who knows how to protect a 1-0 lead, apart from that Iceland game.
arguably the biggest game of his career. Yeah.
There we are.
But it is worth saying, I know it was a while ago now, and I know Liverpool fans like to come out of the woodwork whenever Roy Hodgson... If Roy Hodgson gets a job, as a barista at Costa, with the greatest respect...
You're going to get four more for everybody.
Yeah, Liverpool fans will protest that.
Uh-huh.
But if Hodgson does get the job at Palace, it is worth pointing out the two other clubs similar to the size of Palace, West Brom and Fulham. He's done a good job at. I mean, took Fulham to a European final. I mean, and we know where Fulham are now. So I mean, it's fair to point out that Hodgson may well still have enough left in the tank to do something at Palace.
Yeah, he fits the profile for what they need, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, it would be a good appointment, you'd have to say. Let's move on to the next story, which I've entitled, "Is kicking another player in the face worthy of a red card?"
The answer is yes.
Okay. Yeah.
What's next?
Okay. Yeah. And then we move on.
There can surely be no other side to this coin.
Yeah. If the world of football media has ever been guilty of manufacturing a controversy, it's got to be, and they are, but there's never been a better example of that than this. I mean, I don't understand what the sort of cognitive dissonance people have got between, fine, it may well have been accidental.
We didn't mean it, Luke.
Yeah, but it can also be a red card. Have you seen the picture of Edison's face?
Yeah.
It's got about 10 stitches in it.
The thing is, though, that actually, it doesn't matter how many stitches, that's obviously incredible bad luck for him. That doesn't actually matter.
No, the outcome doesn't dictate the decision.
No,
absolutely.
Because some people said, oh, well, if it wasn't so severe, but I think the referee was pretty quick with the red.
Well, it was a similar situation in the Newcastle match. Of course, the player didn't go down. He sort of span on a sixpence, effectively, and the player just got a yellow card. So
Matt Ritchie would have taken the red card.
Yeah, I think he probably would have.
going on what he said in the post-match interview. And to be fair, Manny took the red card as well. I mean, I suppose he was the one who felt the contact, so he should. But
he's got skin on his studs, Marcus. He's got bits of face on him.
But what I'm saying is that with that in mind, why on earth did so many pundits leap to... his defence.
Well, Sutton's point was that Mane has to go for that ball, doesn't he? And
a lot of
former strikers. But I mean, that is also fair, right? You're always going to go for that chance as a striker. So this is an unfortunate... circumstance of what can happen in that situation. Mane hasn't meant to do it, but the fact he has done it means it's a red.
But when people were saying, like Alan Shearer was saying, to Gary Lineker, you would go for that ball, Ian Wright, you would go for that ball, I'd go for that ball, I would always want my strikers to go for that ball. Well, that isn't that a bit of a silly thing to do? Because if that was a defender, it's a striker. And by the way, those three are strikers, and so is Chris Sutton. But because it's a striker going up against a goalkeeper, it's kind of like, oh, well, it's unnecessary. If that's a striker, if up the other end of the pitch, if Aguero's dancing through and Clavan goes in for a 70-30 in Aguero's favour and he kicks him up in the air, gets sent off, you go, well, you're an idiot, you should have miscalculated, you should have waited, you should have backed off. It's the same principle. Yeah.
Well, what if Aguero's going for a header and the defender had his feet that high?
Yeah,
it's a similar principle, isn't it?
Well, it is. Because it's a striker, it's kind of like, oh, well, the striker, there's... he's got to go for that ball, etc., and so on. No, it's the same principle.
The laws of the game state, a tackle or challenge that endangers the safety of an opponent or uses excessive force or brutality must be sanctioned as serious foul play, which means a red card. There's no, regardless of all this rhetoric, there's absolutely no doubt in anyone's mind that he didn't endanger the safety of an opponent. Mm. Edison's got about 10 stitches in the side of his face, and I don't accept that Manny has to go for that ball. It's generous to call it a 70-30.
Yeah, I completely agree.
He's not going to win that ball. And you also need to understand, there's two examples I'd like to give around the context of this, of why these laws are now in place, in my opinion. One is because their players are a lot faster now, and they're a lot stronger. If you look at that 50-50 between Begovic and an Arsenal forward, the ball burst. The ball burst, right? That is unbelievable. And I was at Mansfield Town at the weekend, and maybe we'll come and talk about that a bit later on. We were there, and we saw a centre-half for Mansfield, League Two level, being given the Man of the Match award, and we saw it close up. He looked like a cruiserweight boxer. He was absolutely ripped. His legs, it's not an exaggeration to say, his legs were busting out of his shorts and his biceps were busting out of his shirt. He is a very strong, powerful man. Compare that to even 15, 20 years ago. Of course, there were still athletes then. But these laws have been brought into play to protect the safety of the players, which is the most important thing. And for a player to have his foot 6 foot high at that sort of speed on the goalkeeper... I completely accept, by the way, that May didn't mean to cause any harm and didn't mean to hurt
anyone. I don't
think
there's any doubt about that, is there?
But that doesn't mean they're mutually exclusive. Of course, that can still be a red card, and I don't really see what the controversy is.
Can you talk a bit more about the defender? I was getting a bit... It's getting hot in him.
Stick around to part three for that.
The Chris Sutton's title for his article in the Mail read, "Any professional footballer who says Mane deserved to be sent off is a liar."
Well, it's farcical. It's
and again,
he's
I go back
down
to,
there, isn't he?
Alan Shearer saying you'd always, when you see your striker go for the ball in that situation. Again, I liken it to a defender kicking a centre forward up in the air and getting himself sent off because he poorly timed the tackle. Do you apply the same? It's exactly the same kind of
Alan
principle.
Alan Shearer, they're Neil Lennon in the chops.
you're right with what you're saying there. The laws of the game don't sort of change between defensive players and forward players. It's the same laws.
Yeah. Indeed. The best opinion I've seen is that, I saw this on the internet, obviously, saw a few people arguing that Edison was responsible for dangerous play by charging out. Right. Which is amazing.
Head first.
Absolutely amazing. Not thinking in Mane's boot there.
But there is, that's
obviously... Red, white and cop. No, red and white cop. Was it? Was the forum called?
Red and white cop.
Red and white cop in it, yeah.
That's farcical, but there is an argument to suggest that actually... If a defender puts his head at sort of like knee high to head a ball away
there is.
And gets kicked, you could argue that he should be booked for that because he's endangering himself.
Yeah.
But that was not in the case.
Jamal Lascelles tried to head a ball on the floor at the weekend.
He had a great game.
We're not talking about Newcastle, but yeah.
That was one of the performances of the weekend.
They won and we're not going to talk about them.
I know. Fuck you, Marcus. Not even right in the face.
Not even Rafa was there to watch it. Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, maybe that's the trick.
Who would have thought that? Yeah, but, and then Liverpool collapsed, of course, and Manchester City put them to the sword.
Well, Liverpool under Klopp aren't set up to play against a team of that quality away from home with 10 men at the best of times.
No.
But it was disappointing that they let it slip quite so badly. But then, Man City are a good team.
Yeah, and what about the Aguero-Jesus striking partnership?
I think this is the danger of the team like City. They have a lot of match winners in that team. So if you are a man down, you it could get quite bad quite quickly, as it did.
Indeed. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
Fearing for yourself.
You wake up in the middle of the night.
I'm not even having a flash forward without knowing it. Then.
Yeah, you're in the Etihad. It's you versus them. Aguero, the unselfish pass where he slotted to Jesus and he scored. Actually, that is just a little indication for me that actually the two of them are on the same wavelength. They're on the same page. They get on very well. Because normally a striker would have just put that away.
It was
Cole and York stuff.
I thought De Bruyne was very impressive.
He's taken to that sort of slightly different role. Indeed.
Saw a few onlookers lauding the performance of Mendy as well. But I thought De Bruyne really catched the eye. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he caught the eye in the week. I took him out of my fantasy league team.
Yeah,
great to see.
We'll talk about him probably in a minute as well. Pascal Gross, the guy I was bigging up at the beginning of the season. Uh-huh. Bigging him up enough to put him in on the bench in my fantasy team. Scored two.
We're only four games into the season, of course, and Mark Hughes has had a handshake snub already.
He's had the worst weekend of Frank de Boer.
Yeah.
In his mind,
he thinks that, yeah.
Although he's sort of in on the joke now, is he? There's a little bit of self-awareness.
I don't like this because when David Hasselhoff got in on the joke, it was nowhere near as funny anymore.
I don't know if it's that he's in on the joke, it's just it's got to the point where even he thinks it's ridiculous.
James Stewart on the Facebook wall obviously says that it's almost like a breaking of the fourth wall. It's not right. It's weird. And Tom on the emails, he's basically compiled a list of managers he's had a handshake problem with.
Yeah,
He doesn't have any data pre-2010, but it's Martin Yol, Roberto Mancini, Pulis three times, Wenger, Allardyce, Kike Sanchez Flores, and Jose Mourinho as well. So.
Several members of his own family.
But the most his other hand.
His other hand. Yeah.
Ever seen him clap? Me neither.
No, he won't.
The best addition to this story I've heard, and I'd like to think it's true, but it's definitely been reported, is that Mourinho was asked after the game, and he sort of flat-batted the question and walked off.
Yeah.
The reason he did that, apparently, apparently, is because Mark Hughes was so put out by Mourinho not shaking his hand after the game that rather than go address his own players after the game, Hughes, he went into the away dressing room to find Mourinho to try and shake his hand. And Mourinho's like, what are you doing?
Why do you want a handshake that you have to hunt down like you're Liam Neeson in Taken?
I know, right?
Shaken.
Oh, very good. It sounds like that he's not in on the joke then.
Yeah, no,
with that story.
Not.
Yeah.
But I've heard people say, I've heard players who've played under Hughes say he is very, very odd. Much more odd than you realise.
I think that's great.
Yeah. I've seen nothing since to doubt that.
No.
Every season?
I like the fact that he was saying that Mourinho told him to off during the game.
Yeah.
And he gave Mourinho a little nudge, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because according to Hughes, he was in my technical area.
Yeah, like, that's completely reasonable behaviour.
But he was in there. Mourinho's given him the old in the ear.
Of course.
But Mourinho had an absolutely horrific bright red roll neck jumper on today in the press conference. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see that one.
It was. I don't know where he got it from. It can't be official Man United attire, but it had his initials on it.
I'm missing a roll neck.
Check it out online. On the game itself, Marcus, David De Gea made one of the saves of the season.
Oh, absolutely.
What a save that was.
A great point for Stoke, though.
Yeah, it was. That save led to the corner that led to the goal, which I always find a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Like, off the back of a really good save.
All in vain.
The most famous one of those is that famous Ledley King tackle where he chases after, is it Arjen Robben, for about 30 yards and makes this amazing tackle. One of the best pieces of defending you ever see. And then they score from the corner.
Such a shame. Yeah. Mourinho, he's obviously unhappy that they didn't get the win. And so he's using all the tools in his box to wind up Hughes. Obviously the handshake snub was there. And then he said that Manchester United needed Fellaini for this match due to his height and physical presence.
Yeah, Hughes hates that.
And Hughes is like, well, no, that's a dig at our style of play. We're not just a long ball team. We're playing.
No, Hughes is like, every single player I've tried to sign has been the antithesis of that. Okay, apart from Darren Fletcher, every single player has been there.
Fletcher can play.
I know he can, but I'm just saying he's a physically capable player. But look at the profile of other players they've signed, like Afellay and Shaqiri and Bojan, those types of players. He has tried to change them around a little bit. The same way then, they're not as formidable at home as they used to be. They're not, certainly not as physical as they were.
Indeed, yeah. We're going to talk about Brighton and Watford after this.
I better go to the cash point and get some money, if I've got any money left.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble. It's now time for Correspondence with Pete Donaldson.
It is time for Correspondence with Pete Donaldson. Hey, that's my name. Hello to Charlie. Hi, Ramblers. I want to give you my highlights of the week. Garth Crooks had a good one.
Did he?
He was going wild over the weekend.
I saw this.
Well, he selected his goalkeeper, Courtois, with the rationale that when there are 27 goals scored in the Premier League during one weekend, it is particularly difficult to find a goalkeeper who has had an outstanding performance. This week so far, there have been 6 teams with clean sheets. This further confirms my suspicions that Garth Crooks is actually a robot computer that selects the team of the week utterly at random.
Pete,
I'm with you on that one, Charlie.
Garth also took the time out to not include Paul Pogba in his team of the week, but do 2 paragraphs on how much he hated his hair.
Yeah. I mean, he's had that random kind of hairstyle for quite a long time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the always accent Kelly.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
As pointed out, if you're a 56-year-old man pointing out the problems with a man's haircut that's in his 20s, it's, yeah, you know...
Garth answers to no man nor beast.
Indeed, but possibly Kelly Wells. Yeah. Hello, Ramblers. This is from Pete. David Seaman, we're talking about the fact that he doesn't like selfies. I've never approached him myself, but I did hear about a story. Obviously, he's a keen angler, always fishing, as
yeah,
David Seaman.
Yeah, that's right.
While he was fishing in the Thames in Marlow, he ran into an escaped South American capybara. Is it capybara? Capybara.
You're like a massive rodent.
Yeah, like those, yeah, big, those big with the big
world's
funny
largest
noses.
Rodent. Yeah, yeah.
He was unable to catch it, but he did manage to take a picture with his mobile phone. So he's not into selfies, but giant rodents.
But yeah, you would, I mean, though. You would,
yeah, you wouldn't let that slip away, would you?
It is double standards.
If I saw a capybara on the loose, I would be annoyed if I had a 3210. I'd be taking a photo of it.
They are some strange... Look, we sell them at the zoo. Very strange creatures.
Yeah. You sell them at the zoo?
I used to have them at the
sell
zoo.
Sell them.
Oh, sorry.
I tried selling them.
Don't
worry.
who else did I buy one off then?
Hello to Kyle. He says, afternoon all. Listening to the Ramble today, I heard the horticultural outcry at Marcus of stating that Mike Garlick, the Burnley chairman, who abstained from voting in the closure of the transfer window before the season starts, didn't know his onions, which is met by outrage that Garlick is not related to the onion family. Turns out, after a quick Google, that Garlick is indeed a close relative of the onion shallot, leek and chive.
Well, if you come at the king, you better not miss.
No, no one actually said that, but no, still, nice email.
Can you have a garlic ring? Who wants that on their burger?
No.
Sod off. Right. Finally for now, all right, let's go with this one. Jack in Harrogate, he visited Edinburgh last week for the final week of the Fringe Festival. Ah. While walking along at Union Canal, I witnessed a man shouting at his dog to get into the canal to retrieve what I can only assume was a golden stick. After refusing, the dog basically was cajoled into the canal. After lifting his sopping mutt out of the river, I caught eye contact with a man who smart suggested that dog shouting and cajoling was an entirely normal affair. As a Leeds fan, I recognised the man at once. It was Michael Dewberry.
Amazing.
I ended up chatting to Michael for 10 minutes about his Leeds days and his 6-month-old spaniel. He said that it was how he taught his kids to swim, and dogs shouldn't be any different.
Did he then chuck our emailer in the canal?
Fantastic. So Jack in Harrogate. Shall we go through the trebuchet gate?
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, why don't you,
pick this one out.
Can I add a little Michael Dewberry story that he told me himself, actually? He's a lovely fella, and he said that when he was a footballer, he'd first started for Chelsea, and Ian Wright was one of his heroes, and they were playing Arsenal, and at a corner I think he was marking Ian Wright, and it was the first time he'd come in contact with Ian Wright, and he was kind of slightly starstruck even on the pitch, and he was looking at him going, oh my goodness, is Ian Wright right? I'm going to mark him and all this, and Wright just looked at him and just went, what the f*** are you looking at, mate? He was crushed.
Ian Wright is the nicest man in real life, but on the pitch
he was a shit bag.
When Marcus and I did the weekend of FA coaching down in Bristol, there was a guy doing it called Chris Morris. Not that Chris Morris. Chris Morris used to play for Republic of Ireland. Yeah. And he played in the World Cup. Mm. And we were doing this exercise, and I'll stand next to Marcus. You know what I'm going to say, Marcus?
We were both at it.
Yeah, you were at it worse. Marcus was supposed to be marking this Chris Morris guy, right? And the point is, you do a whole drill, and the ball comes over, you do certain things. And Marcus blatantly just wasn't paying attention. All I heard from the back of one of my ears was Marcus going to him, oi, what was it like playing against Marco van Basten? Just been such a football geek over and over again.
Oh. Let him work.
It was funny.
He's paid for that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he'd paid to go on the course, I think. Yeah, he probably failed. Anyway, this highlight of the week comes from Oliver Memories Bailey, who was on last week. Do you remember? He promised us planes But they didn't materialise.
Oh, yes, we said there were going to be two planes. We didn't get any.
Plane liar.
This is about something different. He said, weird moment in Jurgen Klopp's post-match interview this weekend. A journalist asked him about Liverpool's Champions League game on Wednesday. He corrected the journalist saying, it's on Tuesday. But then the Liverpool press officer corrected Klopp and said, it is actually on a Wednesday, Jurgen. And Jurgen Klopp said, great, so we've got an extra day. He said, as a Liverpool fan, it worries me that the manager doesn't know when the next game is. And he says, incidentally, though, I can only apologise for the planes with banners I promised you failing to materialise. To preserve the integrity of the ramble, the person who gave me this tip has been fired into the sea with a medieval trebuchet, as per ramble policy. I trust this settles the matter. Now, Joe Hall replied on Facebook with this response. As official ramble historians,
here we go.
Here we go again.
Since Trebuchet Gate, I must insert a clarification here. The apposite verbs to describe the process of being fired from a trebuchet are thrown, launched, or hurled. The verb fired is generally confined to gunpowder era weaponry. Any future failure to abide by correct nomenclature will result in a cannonball to the groin. Good day, sir.
Isn't that how Houdini died?
Was it really?
A little higher, wasn't it? Didn't he get hit in the stomach with a cannonball? Or did he get punched?
It was probably in handcuffs, upside
they're
down, and water.
Two very
tank.
Different things.
Yeah. I just remember seeing an old video of a man getting hit with a. It might have been Alan Carter, actually. There's a man getting hit in the belly.
I think you're thinking of Homer Simpson.
Oh, yeah. That was a parody of that particular video clip.
Yeah, I knew. Crying out loud. We're going to talk about Brighton.
Yeah, ready.
They got their first win in the top flight for 34 years.
Pretty good.
And it was that man, Pascal Gross, who Luke was talking about a little while ago at the start of the season.
Well, I've embarrassed myself there because I've been calling him Gross, I think. Is it Gross? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
He's Christian Gross.
He's a good player. He went for only a few million quid and he slipped under the radar. And I think he can do a bit of everything. And he got two good goals at the weekend.
Yeah,
good
I don't think him. He is related to Christian Gross. That was just a stupid comment. Brighton, their first win back in the top flight. What a goal it was to get them underway.
It was a deflected one.
Made up for it. I say made up for it. He did score a goal. He got a better one the second time.
It's almost like he said, that one's not good enough for me. I'm doing a proper one.
Yeah, because he could have slid Knockout in.
Yeah.
And he did think to himself, I will go down as a goal scorer on the day that perhaps they get the first win, but I want them to remember this one more.
Yeah.
And he
it's good for them to get themselves up and running, isn't it?
The atmosphere down there is absolutely unbelievable, and that's going to be a real weapon for them. We've said this already a few times this season, but it was really, really in evidence there.
I was there pre-season. They saw them play Atletico Madrid. They were beaten, but it was a good game, and the atmosphere was fantastic. It's just such a great destination to go and watch a game. It really is.
They were good value. They need goals.
They got three of them. They were good value for the win.
They're going to need more than that, Marcus.
Well, it depends how many Oppo get.
The game's over now.
Go for more.
An enjoyable stat for Brighton fans. You're already 4 points above Palace. But when Roy the Boy takes over, if indeed he does, then
when Palace going for Chris Hughton, that'll be a stinker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, blimey. Pulis was angrily shouting at his side throughout the match.
That's not notable. Is it? It's not newsworthy.
Saying, Pulis was present.
I'm saying, if he had a knife in his hand, notable. If he's just shouting, that's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how he communicates.
did he have a knife?
If he had a knife in one hand, not notable. If he had it in both hands, and notable.
Did he have a Swiss Army penknife under his cap?
if that cap was like really big, like a record, notable. Again,
you'd
notable.
Have liked it.
I'd have liked it.
I'm just saying that sometimes in this day and age where things are a bit topsy-turvy, Pulis shouting at his side, it's a constant.
It is.
That we can all be reassured with.
It's like easing into an old pair of slippers.
He did say the Brighton goals either side of half-time were kicking the ghoulies.
Well, they will be.
Yeah, well, ideally you don't want to concede any, do you?
No, exactly. But nice to hear the word ghoulies again. in a non-scary situation. Now, Watford, they got their second win of the season. They're 2 points behind the Manchester sides at the top of the table. They've had a great start to the season. They've only conceded three, which were all on the first day against Liverpool. Three clean sheets, Bournemouth away, Brighton at home and Southampton away. Okay, they're not top sides, but a clean sheet's a clean sheet's a clean sheet, as the old expression goes.
I've always maintained, ever since we've been doing this show, that the first day of the season, to me, is just a write-off. You don't know what you're going to get. You never know. You can't really learn too much about your team as a manager until you see them out there in competitive action. So you take that aside, well, they've been fantastic.
But a point against the much
better side. They were fine, And I think Watford could do really, really well this season. Marco Silva clearly, and it's not just us watching Marco Silva managing Hull saying he did a very valiant job there and they're unlucky and all the rest of it. Everyone in football is saying Silva's a great manager.
Yeah.
And he's going to go on to great things. And so far, so good, really.
And the cut of his jib is one which is quite affable. Quite a decent chap. I'm happy to be shot down in flames in a couple of weeks' time if certain stories come out about him. I doubt they will.
No, I think you're
but
right.
But you know what I mean? He looks like the type of guy. Look at those. It must be difficult in that Watford dressing room to go in there. There's a lot of players coming and going, and the loans and so on. Well, the managers come and go, for crying out loud. To be able to walk in there and to have a bit of authority but not upset people and try and get a bit of cohesion. He seems to have done it quite quickly on the basis of those four results that we've just talked about.
Well, and I think it's going to arguably test the Watford ownership's philosophy, because if Marco Silva takes them, and let's not get silly, I mean, if he takes them, I know Leicester won the league, but if Marco Silva takes them to eighth or something like that, that's a great performance.
It's a wonderful season.
They may find it hard to keep hold of Silva on that basis, but presumably they would like to keep him. So it's almost like a role reversal.
Interesting, wouldn't it? See if they, you know, if he could well use them as a stepping stone, which would be an unusual situation for them to be in. But he's bought very well, isn't he? Andre Gray and Richarlison seem to have a really good good understanding already, and Richarlison is incredibly satisfying to say. Yeah. So I'd like to thank him for that.
I mean, it might say more about me than anything else, but I'd never heard of Richarlison.
Well, he's quite young, isn't he? I think it was sort of just plucked from nowhere, really.
And I've only seen him a little bit, but he looks all right. He's a good player.
There were some good goals scored in that game. Jan Matt scored.
That was a great goal from miles out. That's the sort of stuff he learnt at St James's Park. Did he score many long ranges for Newcastle?
Oh, no, he had that in him, definitely. Okay. And also, he was a psychopath. But,
he had it in him, but did he
ever
utilise it?
Did he ever utilise it?
There's a link there, isn't there?
Newcastle, did you say Sanchez boating Oslo in the Ghoulies?
Yes.
Speaking of being boated in the Ghoulies.
Is that right?
Retrospective action.
I did see that.
Please.
Did Jan Matt leave Newcastle because Mike Ashley puked on him?
Maybe. I think it's just in the contract. If you do get puke on him, this is how we get it out.
Yeah. Sorry about it. You were a fireplace, is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Everything's a fireplace when he's had enough.
Everything's a fire sale.
We've got time to talk about Spurs away to Everton. What a win, 3-0. Harry Kane scoring again.
Yeah.
And then the old routine.
The great thing about that is 100th goal wasn't supposed to be a goal.
Yep.
By his own
nice that he admitted that.
We were saying this earlier, but when you score as many goals as Harry Kane, you can. If you're a left back who gets none, and that's you're claiming that all day long.
Right. Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Just into September, and even his crosses are becoming goals.
I know, right?
Scoring for England, scoring for Spurs.
He's probably sits in the dressing room or in the training ground on the 1st September saying to everyone, listen, lads, honestly, whatever I do now it's ticked over midnight, we'll go in the goal. I'm telling you.
I don't even understand this.
Yeah. But it is, to take it a bit more serious, it is a weird situation for Everton.
It is.
Because I know it's early in the season, and I know it was Sigurdsson. I think it was his home debut, wasn't it, Sigurdsson, for Everton? So you can't read too much into that in isolation. But they've elected to replace Lukaku's goals with this almost like, let's spread the goals around type mentality.
Having loads of number 10s.
Yeah, and I do understand that, because it's not easy to go and find a 25 goal in the Premier League striker, even though they had a lot of money to spend. But it's a bit of a gamble for them.
Mm.
You know, and people have been saying, you know, is Koeman, is his job safe? If they've got an owner who's so ambitious that he's going to spend all this money, hundreds of millions, is he going to be too loyal when it's not going his way? I'm not suggesting it won't, but for them, an improvement would be fourth, probably. And that's looking very difficult now.
Yeah,
very difficult.
Well, again, we said this a few weeks ago. That is very clearly their stated aim, isn't it? So falling short of that, like, you know, that falls on Koeman. Hmm. You know, he's set his stall out, that's what they're going for.
And let's not skirt over this. One of their big players so far this season has been Wayne Rooney, and goodness knows there's
What's
been a lot of his
him,
private life in the press.
And he's driving a Volkswagen Beetle, you know.
I'm cock here, so we can't talk any further on that.
I was about to say, yeah.
I'm allowed to say the brand of car.
the car's not at fault.
No.
There was just an uncomfortable silence. Everyone just went a bit, it went a bit Chris Sutton on Match of the Day too, didn't it?
We all feel the same about Volkswagen Beetles, that's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Come on, that was a bit odd.
Anyone who says they doesn't think that about Volkswagen Beetles is a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
I think all Volkswagen Beetles should be rescinded.
I'm sure Daily Mail have got some sort of quote, sort of opinion on the Volkswagen Beetle.
No doubt they do.
Yeah.
Oh dear. But we're going to talk a little bit about the championship after this. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Hang on a minute. The Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out on Friday morning. How did Luke Moore get on in the hot seat?
Another win. Move on.
Really?
Not a problem.
When it was...
What was your bet again?
He's got on Jose.
Burnley to beat Palace.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got...
I'm starting to hate this feature because he's in the hot seat. I don't like it one bit.
Pete, you're on for the hat-trick and it would be the first person to do it.
Pete, what I would say is that we've got several listeners.
Yeah,
okay?
Several.
They've all got the wisdom of their crowd. They can all come in and I'll pick the bet that I think's, you know, the best one. They can't buy a win.
Yeah.
No, me against them. You know that game when those three footballers had a game against 100 kids? That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And I'm winning.
Well, that's great.
Such hubris.
Luke is the manager who plays.
Yeah. In many ways,
but he's genuinely better than the team.
In many ways, I've cost Frank the Borough's job. So it's Burnley to beat Palace, and they won 1-0. I don't know what I'm going to do on Thursday. I have to tune in to find out, I suppose. I haven't decided yet.
We look forward to that.
We all look forward to
that. I won
the
hat trick. If I do get the hat trick, it means I retire from the show. So you guys might want that to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The listeners certainly
will find out what we think of that on Friday morning. All right, Luke, you've said something there. Peter, what have you got to say?
Well, Friday morning comes around. Friday evening is where it's going to be happening. We are going to be doing a live show in King's Cross, and I've brought a friend along to talk about it. Hello, everybody. I am Jossie Joswell from Jossie's Giants, a television show from 1980s, written by the darts commentator Sid Waddell. And I am here to tell you a lot about, basically, my friends at the Football Ramble are going to be doing a show at King's Place in King's Cross. It used to be a terrible red light district, not anymore. They're going to be doing it on a Friday, this Friday. And if you want to go, just get your tickets, dickhead. thefootballramble.com/news. Jossie's Giants. I'll be there. And I'll be there too. Yeah. So there you go.
Nowadays we've got Josselu's Giants, of course.
I'm racking my brains.
He's looking good.
Why we don't get sign off on these adverts before. <I'm here. laughs>
Pete, can you do an advert? Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, was that you?
No, I got Jossie from Jossie Giants involved.
If by some sort of miracle you found that entertaining, do come on Friday. It's more of the same, isn't it? It's more of the same.
I mean, you talk about what we like. It's technically slander and not libel, I think.
Yeah. It doesn't count if you've had 5 beers.
Oh, right, okay, it's fine. You know what? I was going to have to be working the next day. I'm not now. Sweet.
There you go. Okay, cool. So, in which case, do get your ticket.
Unhinged.
All back to Peter's.
Yeah.
You might not be out until Monday of the building.
Semi-serious. Do buy your tickets before Beat buys the rest of them.
I'll be inviting homeless guys I know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that would be a very good cause.
Yeah.
Right, should we move on to the championship?
Yeah, Alan, let's go.
Don't give me the room. I'm like Mesut Ozil. I'll drag the play all over the place, Marcus.
Pete's like Paul Scholes on the Keegan. Chopping his little hand grenade all over the pitch.
Playing between the lines.
Yeah.
Cardiff lost their 100% start to the season. They did get a draw, though, at Fulham. Fulham should have won that game.
They're a good club, Fulham, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're lovely lads.
Lovely lads.
Lovely old thing.
Hello, Fulham. The first thing Warnock said to look at the quotes after the game was, well, it was a cracking game.
It did look
he
a brilliant
it,
game.
He always says it's a cracking game.
I watched
game.
The extended highlights and there was lots going on.
Fulham, yeah. I think Fulham should have won. Fulham had 64% possession.
They look really slick again. I mean, they're only on 7 points. So you think if they can click...
Yeah, if they can put the smaller teams away. When Fulham played Ipswich, when they were flying high, they beat Ipswich quite handedly. And should have beaten Cardiff. That's the thing with Fulham. If they could put away the smaller teams as well, then they're
Barcelona of the Championship.
They genuinely are. They play the best football down in the Championship.
That's reminded me of Sam Hammam. I told you that story, haven't I, about him saying that Cardiff were the Barcelona in Northern Europe.
Yeah,
another story. But
that was when they were burning the other team's shirts.
No, I don't know.
There was
about
something very sinister going on.
No, Sam Hammam was owner of Cardiff City, and I was at uni, I called him. And he's a press person, so I could do an interview with him. And I called him. I did an interview over the phone to put together like a radio package for uni. And he was mad.
Oh, yeah.
Would this mean Rijkaard's Barcelona as well?
No, before that, I think. Right. But he was basically saying that the Cardiff...
Van Gaal?
But it wasn't like he was saying, oh, I'm going to build a great club here. He was saying, literally saying,
they're already
at this
there.
Moment, we are the Barcelona.
They
weren't even the top flight.
I was about to say, we were then going on, which Barcelona was it? Because he might have had a point.
Not the point.
Yeah,
not the point.
Are you confusing Cardiff with Catalan? I don't know what confusing it is.
In that Fulham game, Ryan Sessegnon, I know it's not a hugely original thing to say, because he's very highly rated. He looks like a... I know he's a fullback. But he looks like he affects every part of the pitch already.
He's often played further up.
Further
the field,
forward, yeah.
Further up the pitch. He looks great. And actually, that's why I think Fulham would have wanted to keep him this season, because they had a big bid from Spurs.
Yeah.
Of course, unlike Spurs to nick Fulham players, isn't it? I say nick, they do pay for them. Yeah. That's a perfectly reasonable transaction. Yeah.
I don't think Daniel Levy was stuffing Ryan Sessegnon down a tracksuit bomb.
Yeah, cheers for the tour of Craven Cottage. Yeah. Don't search me as I leave. Yeah. But they obviously wanted to keep him because
Fulham will think, financially, obviously if we can get promoted, that's worth more than £25 million for Ryan Sessegnon and so on.
But he just looks at, I mean, he's only 17 now, born in 2000, so he's only 17, which is horrible. Born, in, but I mean, still 17, but I didn't realise that he plays further forward quite so often, but he looked like he was just all over the place.
He's a great player.
Yeah. In a good way.
Yeah, in a good, not in a Mo Diame way, like a decent boy, you know. Yeah.
He was flipping dreadful.
Oh, man. We're staying in West London, though. QPR and Ian Holloway celebrated 100 years of Loftus Road with a win against Big Mick's Ipswich.
But do you ever think, like, in the Premier League, you know, we see all this stuff with the transfer window and the money's going crazy and crazier every year, and the football, you know, new players come in, and it feels very fresh every year, the Premier League, I think.
Yeah.
You look at the Championship and you think, it's just like the same all the time. Like, talk about, we're doing a Championship section here. Neil Warnock, Ian Holloway and Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that get them out of the league, don't they?
No,
and
yeah.
Then,
nothing
then
changes.
They're never allowed to keep going.
Do you know, somebody said about the Premier League, they said it wasn't really an English league. It's more like a global league. You know, you look at the managers. Because if you look at other leagues in Europe, Spain and Italy and Germany, they often, the majority of the coaches are from those countries and so on. Yeah. And maybe they are in the Premier League, but I think there's only five English coaches currently in the Premier League, you know, and obviously it's something like 37% of the players are English and so on, whereas it would be a high percentage in other countries, I think. And I think that is a fair comment. You know, the Premier League, yes, it is an English league. Of course, you look at the style of play and so on and so forth, but it is also a global league. Whereas actually, I think the Championship is your English,
is the English league. That's a nice point, actually,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a nice point.
Which is why it's crazy. Not as a cultured footballer, apart from Fulham, of course.
Room for a shower.
Yeah, maybe.
Is it right? Am I right in saying that Harry Redknapp said that Birmingham would be top six, no danger this season?
You are going to bring that up every week.
I think they're fifth bottom.
There was a bizarre clip where he was just looking at his phone for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that. In a press conference or something.
Yeah.
He's trying to work out Deliveroo. Yeah.
Doing his online banking.
Or that gym, which was a naughty appointment.
He's probably booking a tea time or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although I've got to say about QPR, Freeman scored a lovely one for them. Could have been a toe punt. Worth having a look.
Yeah,
and it's a lovely movement that he did before.
Jamie Mackie scored, didn't he, as well?
It was Jamie Mackie, was it?
Good to see him getting a go. He's had a couple of bad injuries,
Could have been me, you know. I think you're on the head under 18.
Exactly. He was a new Marcus Speller, that's what they call him, isn't it?
Probably what spurred him on. Wolves got a handy win against Millwall, taking them up to third. Diogo Jota scored a fine goal, one of the goals of the weekend, Jim. You're nodding in agreement.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It was better than Welbeck's first, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Lovely to see Welbs on the score sheet. But we're talking about Wolves, and of course the natural thing to do when talking about Wolves is to talk about Mark Hamill, the man who plays Luke Skywalker. He's confirmed that he's a Wolves fan now. This was due to him liking a post about Wolves on Twitter. Hamill thought that the tweeter meant the animals rather than the football team. And after much interest...
Not unreasonably from his point.
Very much. After much interest and love from the Wolves fans, Hamill said, well, I've got to become a supporter of the club now. And he's been given an open invitation to the Molyneux.
I mean, all I've got is Obi-Wan Kenobi Neil. That's it. I've got nothing else.
So. Tom Hanks also support Villa. There's a strange concentration
stuff there,
of...
Yeah. Like, they get spotted with, like, they get given, like, a, you know, Snoop Dogg gets given a jersey by Manchester United and Sonny's a Man United fan. Then the next week, he's got a different team.
Just mean in the Midlands in particular, there's an unusual concentration of it.
I think Prince William's an Aston Villa fan.
I think that's right. And also
David Cameron,
Tony Blair.
David Cameron forgot that
he's a West Ham fan.
No, he's not. He's basically pretending either way.
I think his scriptwriter forgot which one, but they knew he played in Claret and Blue, so he went, obviously I want West Ham to win.
Yeah, that's right.
Who does he officially support?
Villa.
But it is Villa.
His scriptwriter wrote the wrong team.
Right, that's it.
Yeah, we're Prime Minister.
Were you? It's like I say with Peter, the emails with David Cameron. Read it beforehand, then you know what's coming up, don't you?
Were you given a Newcastle shirt, Peter, in one of your DJ slots now you've got to?
Yeah, just have to.
Ah, theory me. Right, now, oh my goodness, it's time for Going for Gold!
It's time for Going for Gold, let's do this! When they're
going for Gold.
Can I just say, I wasn't here last week, and I listened to the show, and I was walking into Pret to meet Marcus on the Wednesday, I think, and I got Going for Gold as I walked in and saw him in the Pret, and I grabbed him and started going, Marcus Alonso! And I checked with him earlier and said, can I potentially have a point for that? And he said no.
Well,
none,
I mean,
none of that's true apart from the last bit.
I agree with that, but what I do find very charming is that you are doing revision to meet Marcus.
Yeah.
Well, catching up.
He's very fastidious with his football knowledge, and he expects the same from me.
Did you? I quiz him on all the best goals I scored.
Yeah.
For Leatherhead under 18.
I've learnt them all by heart now.
Well, only a couple of them, isn't there?
It didn't take me that long, no.
One of them was offside.
Yeah.
Well, let's kick off, shall we? Thank you to Dan Wade for getting involved and giving me some going for gold clues. I mean, it's silly if you're going to email it to the whole group. Use Peter@thefootballramble.com, guys, if you are going to.
Give your personal one out.
Peter@thefootballramble.com.
No, the one that I normally use, your email address.
Oh.
Don't do that. Don't do it, Pete.
You always did it then.
Yeah. Do you know?
Do you remember?
Banking password.
Well, why don't you get them to text you?
I'll just read out yours, Mark.
Well, they could come to your house.
Yeah, just. Make sure they get their own keys cut, though.
Yeah, that's right.
I was born in Lagoa de Prata. Clue number one. I was born in Lagoa de Prata.
Stop. Paolo Onechop.
No. Again, good, lovely
just
to have
guess.
You.
Yes. Yeah, good guess.
Lovely. I began my career at America Mineiro.
Stop. Janino.
Not Janino, no.
Stop. Eduardo.
No.
Stop. Emerson.
No. I earned 93 caps for my country, scoring 3 times.
Stop. Dunga.
No.
Oh, I thought I had it.
Stop. Jorginho.
No, but...
Stop. Taffarel.
Oh, these lovely names. Oh. I saw Taffarel's lovely goalkeeping top. I saw Dunga's weird mullet hair. Oh,
flat top,
great fullback.
Fantastic.
Pete, I'm only guessing to give the listeners time to get it.
Yeah, exactly. I spent 6 seasons in England at one club.
Okay.
I scored the fastest ever goal for my club.
Ooh.
I also scored my club's first goal at their new stadium.
Oh, damn it all!
Damn it all!
No help, come on, that's naughty.
No, I'm just seeing if anyone else knows it. I'm not going to ask for the clue.
Clue number 7, the penultimate clue. I have a giant anteater named after me at London Zoo, which I once described as my slightly more hairy brother.
I don't know anything about... Oh, this has completely passed me by. None of these clues are ringing true for me at all. I'm only guessing Brazilians because of the name of the club he started at.
Final clue.
Oh, come on. It's better be his first name.
It's gutted. It's better be his first name.
I am a world... I'm going to split this into two, actually.
Gilberto Silva.
The invisible wall.
Yeah.
I am a World Cup winner and an invincible.
Yeah, I'd have got that.
Very nice.
To be fair, after I also scored my club's first goal at their new stadium, if Jim hasn't got this now, I give up.
Yeah.
Says Dan Wade.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, excellent. Impeccable going for gold.
I was on the radio once with, I think it might not have been him, but I think it was Tony Cascarino.
Mm.
And we were talking about Gilberto Silva. Mm. And we were talking about in the context of Arsenal not having a player like that.
He was so good.
Yeah. And I said, as a joke to him, I think it was Tony Cascarino. Well, it's like he was named the invisible wall. I mean, how do you defend, play against a wall when you don't know where it is because it's invisible? And Tony Cascarino, yeah, it was a really good point. I felt like saying it wasn't a really good point, it was a joke, he's not actually invisible.
Tony, how do you play virtual squash? I don't know.
Tony, how do you change your nationality?
Yeah.
How do you
represent the
country you're not from?
It may not have been Tony, it may not have been, but it was someone like
but
that.
But it might have been.
It was a toss-up between him and Dean Saunders. Believe me, either one of them are capable.
Both great thinkers of the game.
That's two very different men. I mean, I was on TalkSport with Dean Saunders. This went out, so it's fine. Mm. But I was reading the back pages on TalkSport, and Dean Saunders, I was talking about Lukaku going to Manchester United, the transfer hadn't happened yet, and Dean Saunders turned and said, I don't know why they're going for Lukaku. And I said, who do you think? Well, why not go for Jermaine Defoe? And it was one of those moments where I thought, Dean Saunders...
He would be cheaper.
Massively cheaper.
I'm on his side.
But apart from that point, Peter...
Ex-Newcastle coach,
no, to be fair,
Saunders.
He is also much older.
That was one of the selling points. He went, how old is he, 36? No, 34.
Yeah, about 36.
Let's say 34. He went, he's 34. He scored bags of goals.
And I was a bit like, scored... But, you scored a few yourself.
And you know when you sort of sat there and I'm thinking, look, this is Dean Saunders, you know, legend of the game.
Is anyone else here enjoying Marcus's Dean Saunders impression?
It's not bad,
is it? Yeah, it's really good, yeah.
But I thought to myself, this is legend of the game. I don't want to turn around and go, shut up, Dino.
Yeah.
Shut your noise, yep.
Yeah.
You know? But I thought to myself, I can't on national radio back this point up. But I said,
Do you not think, Dean, that it's only came across all Hugh Grant? Do you not think that the Manchester United fans might be a little bit disappointed if it was just Jermaine Defoe as their replacement for Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Yeah.
And he wasn't having it. He felt that Manchester United should have gone in for Jermaine Defoe.
There we go. Well,
did he think they were specifically trying to replace an old player? Like with another old player?
Yeah. Is he a year younger?
It has to be the same age. Before we go, I was at Mansfield Grimsby at the weekend.
Yes.
Local derby, fiercely contested derby. It was actually fantastic. I was guests of the owners of Radfords, and I've interviewed Carolyn Radford, the CEO, one of the only female CEOs in football, for this month's, hopefully this month's special. So do listen out for that. But the reason I bring it up is because, they're a great club, and I really enjoyed my time there, and I'd like to thank them for their hospitality. But the reason I bring it up is because it's so funny. Like, it's clearly, there's not that many fans. I think there are about 4,500 fans there in total. Maybe about 500-600 of them would be Grimsby fans who've made the trip across. I had a few experiences with them on the train there as well, I have to say. But I won't go into that. But
putting the grim in Grimsby.
They've come all the way there. And after half an hour, Mansfield were rewarded the penalty. And Mansfield ended up beating them 4-1. It was a fairly easy win and they played very well. But Mansfield got rewarded the penalty in front of the Grimsby Town fans, which the guy sort of stepped up and duly scored. Three or four Grimsby Town fans were so annoyed they were forcibly removed from the stand. Half hour in.
Like they hadn't considered it was an option that they might concede.
They went mad. Absolutely mad. There had been like four or five of them carted out by security. What are you doing? The thing is, what's the best that can happen to them now? They're not going back to Grimsby. Enjoy it while you're away.
I remember, I think I was at West Ham away in the Newcastle fans, and this woman got chucked out 20 minutes because she was too pissed. It's like...
At a game.
I know.
Like, bad, isn't it?
It wasn't even that late a kick-off.
And you can't even drink view of the pitch.
No.
So they've let her in.
They let her in drunk.
Yeah, if anything, she should have sobered up a bit by then.
That's unbelievable. Of course, the Acast special at the moment that is out, the latest one, is me interviewing Kevin Gallagher.
Yeah, you had a lovely old time.
I had a lovely old time. I went up to Preston train station. He picked me up in his nice big car. We went back to his nice big house. Tennis court there.
I thought
to
myself... Did you ever cut the games?
I didn't have time for a couple of games.
So it's full of great stories, that interview. I really enjoy listening to it. But please do tell us, this just quickly, the Scotland-Brazil 98 World Cup story. Tell it, because it's an example of the sort of stuff you can hear on it, and I think it's a good one.
Well, ahead of the 98 World Cup, of course, Scotland played Brazil in the opening game, excuse me, at the Stade de Nice, or the Stade de France, as it's called now, I'm not sure. The showpiece of the World Cup in France in 1998. In Scotland, we're playing the champions, Brazil, it's the opening game, and the opening ceremony ran over time, so they couldn't do a warm-up on the pitch. Beforehand, right?
It's a football tournament, by the way.
Yeah,
that's the main thing about it.
Opening game to the greatest show on earth.
Yeah,
and imagine that if you're one of the Scotland players, you're up against Cafu, Dunga, Ronaldo, Rivaldo, all these players.
Yeah,
and you're actually you can't warm up before the game.
Yeah,
all right, because there's a lot of running involved in this next 90 minutes. There's one thing we need is a bloody good warm up. Okay, so what they started doing is they were doing like shuttle runs up and down this little corridor, and there was a little route. And I mean, they were in the train, as obviously in the kit, and they're running up and down inside this building. And Kevin Gallagher said you get to the end of the corridor, and you could just see through the glass another little space, another door through the glass, and what the Brazilians were up to. So Scotland are busting the gut to try and get their warm up. He said he got a little glimpse of the Brazilian players. They're all just dancing. They're all just jiving away, having a lovely old time.
That is amazing.
Sensational. Yeah. And I tell you what,
Ronaldinho's drinking a Bacardi Breeze. Yeah.
Ridiculous behaviour, but... it was Ronaldinho in the
same. No, he would have been there.
No, he wasn't there. Danielson.
Yeah.
His predecessor. Yeah, but and they only just beat the Scots.
Tommy Boyd own goal, was it not?
Tommy Boyd own goal was there.
There you go. Fine margins, isn't it, at the top level?
Yeah, but we talk about Bobby Robson and his time at Newcastle. Craigie Brown gets a little mention. Yeah. Roy Hodgson as well.
So check it out, Acast Plus subscribers. It's £1.99 a month through the Acast app, and you also receive all our old specials. So Jamie Carragher, Howard Webb, Mark Chapman, of course, Jim White, Sky Sports Jim White, lots on there, and you also get... You get Pete's dad as well.
Christian Fuchs.
Premier League winner Christian Fuchs. And you also get ad-free rambles throughout. So for just £1.99 a month, go download the Acast app and you can get it there.
But Pete's voiceovers will be included, though.
Yeah, sadly, yeah.
Yeah. Never mind.
You got to set the rough.
But it is premium content.
Josie's Giants. I'll be there.
He certainly will.
It's confusing, isn't it? Because that's his actual voice as well.
That's actually my voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that is the end of the Football Ramble, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. Remember, the preview show, of course, will be out on Friday morning ahead of that live show this Friday night in North London, King's Cross. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, locals.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
TheFootballRamble.com/news for tickets.
Cheery bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.